Leishir Derech Hashem on Yom Daled Parshas Bo, 31st Shir in Derech Hashem, Shosh Chodesh Shvat, January 21st. No, January 17th. Sorry about that. January 17th. And Rosh Chodesh Yom Daled Parshas Bo, Shir number 31. We'll start again from the beginning of the second section. The Inyan and Chasuvah Mo B'chlal. Different ways explaining this. Determines what's to be done. B'chulu. Everything is under control, of course. But you could look at it that way and say that, and you know, and just go on with your life. But the Hashem explains it specifically, clearly. Like I said, physics explains exactly how it works. So, Peregrishon is Binyan Hashgachos Yisbarach Shmo B'chlal, General Hashgacha. And paragraph 1 says, Yidua Muvarhu, we learned, and it's known. We know the Masoros, we learned it. It's logical. Shana Kulam Shanivru, everything that's created. Bein Ha'lyonim Bein Ha'tachton. There is the set force. Really, collect that happens in this world. Things we experience with five senses, the physical world, that we relate to with our five senses. We may not. You may need a microscope. You may need a telescope. But it's always going to be able to experience the five senses. Why were they created? So we said, we explained already. If you should rise by Machach Mohel Yaina, there's a general goal for creation. Why Hashem created the world? We learned about that in the first section. Hashem wanted to be a mative. To be a mative, he had to create a world with Bruim to experience his oath. Boils down to Adam making choices so he can be like Hashem in creating the good that he deserves. He bonds with Hashem because he made himself into a good being. And otherwise it would have been just a freebie in the first section. So everything plays a role in that. We don't see it. We don't know it. Stuff going on. You know, everybody lives in their own small world. And their own country, their own town, their own family. You know, there's a whole big world out there, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Melech on the whole world, and everything that exists, every animal, every star, we don't understand. Why do we need so billions of stars for? Every star, every animal, every leaf, every tree, everything has a purpose in its existence. It's logical, and we know it in the Torah. The logic is, why would it exist if there was no need? Hashem doesn't do things. He doesn't get a cheaper wholesale, so he might as well make a lot of trees once he's making one. Everything has a purpose. And then the scope should show us how little we understand. It's like a guy wandering into a spaceship and he sees like hundreds and thousands of dials. He doesn't know what's going on. He's overwhelmed. You know? He can barely find the hot water tank in his house, and he's walking into this thing with all these dials and measurements and gauges. We're overwhelmed by this. We just say the words, really don't even comprehend how utterly complex the world is. We don't. Now we're zochet to see how utterly complex just the physical world is. Then you have to imagine everything else. Everything has a purpose. Everything is working towards that goal. Everything is a cog in the machine of producing the ultimate goal, whether we call it Hashem l'melech al kol ha'aretz b'yom u'yiyeh Hashem l'chodesh mo'echad, Hashem's hatava, giving people a chance to have b'chira, rewarding them. Some of things are there for the purpose of a reward. Some things are there for the purpose of a nisayon. Some things are there for the purpose of punishment. Some things are there just to help man exist. Certainly man is the goal of the Bria. Man and his Bechira. and everything exists as a, to give the man the tools to be able to do everything that he should be doing. Not every man has to do everything, but the Bria doesn't have to exist for every man. The Rambam depicts in a famous piece in the Perush Mishnayos. He gives a picture of a building that someone built, so that once in the 6,000 years of the Bria, a tzaddik will come along and be able to rest in its shade because it's very hot. You know, like that building in Shanghai that the yeshiva sit into, or the guy built it for. That's what he built it for. Everything has a purpose. This is his point. L'mashahu, and everything plays a role. L'mashahu atachos haklali shel habriya. L'chol chukoseim. I mean, if anybody ever worked in any kind of factory or anything producing something, there's so many parts and everything has to click, from the person that cleans the bathrooms to the person that fills up the hot water for the coffee, to all the managers and assistant managers and CEOs. Everybody's doing something. So it's logical and compelling and inherently compelling that everything has a purpose, and therefore Hashem is always, so to speak, being mashgiach to see that it's needed for the purpose, and if it's not needed for the purpose, it stops existing. Don't stop exist. B'chol chukoseihem, their rules, the way they work, their limitations, their power, what they're capable of doing, of producing, umishpateihem ativiyim, kuchgu, were established, v'hutbu'u, k'vimashe gozer, achachmo helyona, yosana os. There's a reason why gravity is the speed it is, there's a reason why water boils at the rate that it boils. Everything has a cheshbon and a reason. Nothing is happenstance. Everything is exact, with cheshbon and planning and purpose. Whatever that thing, obviously there are things that play more primary roles than other things. Some things, like in a play, the main actors, some people just play supporting roles. Some people take care of the scenery. Some people take care of the dance and the singing. So everything has its role, and Hashem is making sure everything is needed and is functioning properly. V'ulam may also atamasosh nivru, for the same reason that they were created to fulfill a certain purpose. Roi gam ken sheyiskaimu. So the idea that Hashem not only created, but Hashem is constantly mashgiach, and Hashem constantly is willing something to exist. But Derech Hashem is saying that's just part of the same logic. It was created for a purpose, so its ongoing existence also has to be purposeful, or else it's not needed. Nothing is just there. Nothing is just leftovers. Nothing is just sitting there, you know. So the Hashem is saying, constant hashgachas Hashem is just totally logical and compelling, because Hashem is always seeing to it that it justify its existence by doing or being ready to do whatever it was created for. V'ulam ayoso atam aso shenivru roi gam ken sheyiskaimu, that they should continue to exist kol zman hayoz bam toeles, as long as they have the purpose, the toelis, the chlal habriya, kmo shezachardu. Val ken ha'odom baruchu shabara kol anavromo eile, lo yimona gam ken, he doesn't refrain from l'hashgiach aleihem, this constant hashgacha, to see if they are indeed doing what they're supposed to be doing, if they're fulfilling the role for which they were created. Lakaimam, to make sure they can stay, but also Amatzov she wrote to Ozambo, that they should stay, and everything keeps functioning the way it's supposed to function, producing the results that it's supposed to produce. So Hashem is maintaining all that. See, it wouldn't be enough to just create it and walk away. Besides that, it's not so, and we talk about that, how it's not so, but now Ramchal is really giving us some sort of insight into why it couldn't be so. Because Hashem, its whole ongoing existence is only for a purpose, so there has to be hashgacha to see if the purpose is being fulfilled. So that's what he says in paragraph 1. On paragraph 2, he's saying this is much more complicated than you think. Well, until now you've probably been thinking about the tachtonim. You've probably been thinking about you and your life and your friend's life and your neighbor's life, not to mention the 5,000 other people in the city. But he says, but then there's the Kochos HaElyonim, remember. There's the transcendent forces that really are the reasons that everything happens l'mata. It starts up there, he said, right? And it's Mishtal Sheh l'mata. V'ulam kvar dam l'bechelek harishon perek hamishi, shetchilas hanavram kulam hema Kochos HaNivdolim. Nothing really happens down here. No thing, no event. Whatever the hammer's koach is, whatever the nails koach is, whatever the rabbit's koach is, it's all the product of its transcendent force in Shemayim. Umehem mishtal shalim, and they come down. Umehem mishtal shalim hageshamim doesn't mean rain. Hageshamim means the physical things that you can sense with your senses. Badvarim bageshamim b'chol proteim, and all of the multitude of details in the physical things and events. Kineheim kefima shenetak aleihem min hakochos haheim b'protei b'chinosan. They're just reactive. It's reactive to the transcendent forces. That's what we learned in the last section. It's all a hishtauselus milamala. So the hashgacha is really taking place lamala. And then there's hashgacha to see to it, so to speak, that it's mishtal shel lamata. But Hashem has malachim to do that. That's the job of malachim, to make sure that the transcendent forces go down that chain of a billion links, and more and more physical, more and more physical, more and more physical, more and more physical, less and less spiritual, less and less spiritual, till it comes down the mountain to this world. But his point is that the hashgacha takes place in Shemayim, so to speak, in the transcendent forces. There is nothing, no event, and no object, big or small, in this world, the world of the physical that we sense with our senses, that doesn't have as its source, with one exception, which we'll talk about in the next paragraph, that's man's bechira, but there's nothing that doesn't have its source in the kochos hanivdolim, kifi bechino seim. Everything is matched up exactly. Everything has its partner, its body. For Adam Baruch Hu, inehu mashgiach al koleilu henyonim kifi mashem boram, dahainu al kochos hanivdolim barishona. He first decides what happens, or you know what's going to happen, what happening, what is happening in the kochos hanivdolim, in the transcendent forces. Then it comes down to this world. But the primary hashgacha, so to speak, is up there, because that's where the action is. Valkolish talsalusam kvimashu b'emes, you know, to make sure that functions. V'chenu mashgiach gamken al hapakidim, that's the malachim, the officers, the managers, hivken al hanimtzos, Kemoshe Zacharnu Shom in Chelek Aleph, Perek Hey, paragraph Beis. L'kayim Osev Espekud Dosam, to make sure that they're doing what they're supposed to be doing. U'lahasmid Bohem Makolach Shifalu Pulosam, and to keep on energizing them, maintaining in them the koach they have to do what they're supposed to be doing, which is to make sure that the transcendent, whatever happens in the transcendent forces, happens lemaisa down here. Right? It comes down and it has to happen. Somebody has to get a job, someone has to lose a job, someone has to get married, someone has to die, someone has to be born. Nations have to fight. The economy, everything, every flower, every grass. We can't even begin to comprehend the scope. And then to remember that there's a whole scope that we don't even relate to at all. And that's, I say transcendent forces, but that's huge. That's two words, but there's the Olam Atzilus and the Olam Abriya and the Olam Din and the Olam Ha'asiyah, Atzilus, Abriya, I forgot the third one, and then there's Olam Ha'asiyah, and then there's the Esospheros, and then there's Chesed Shebegevurah. But it's a complicated world. History is complicated. The world's complicated. Everything is geared towards a certain purpose. The Ramchal's Sefer Das Tvunos, which is, we'll call it, deeper and harder than Derech Hashem, tries to give us an insight how history is marching towards its goal, because history seems haphazard. It seems hefkerdik. It seems that the evildoers are not punished as successful. It doesn't seem like we're getting anywhere. So maybe we are zoche not to have that much of a question, because we have the unbelievable schus to be living when the unbelievable has happened. We're not despoiled enough from it that half the Jews of the world are back in Eretz Yisrael. 60 years ago, when was it? How many years ago? There was a Holocaust where they said, so where's Mashiach? Like, what's happening here? All the pogroms, the 2,000 years of Golos, and now we don't know. I mean, things might get worse before they get better. We don't know what's going to happen. We don't know how it's going to play out. Not like, oh, Trump's president, Mashiach has come. It's not like that, right? Obama could become president again the next day, right? There could be wars as Gog and Magog. The Navi tells of very difficult times. You know, we wish it was fulfilled in World War II, but it talks about wars all over Yerushalayim and terrible things happening in Yerushalayim. So maybe when they looked at those psukim 150 years ago, they thought it's fairy tales. Who's going to fight over Yerushalayim? It's a bunch of sand and rocks and old people there living there, starving, half starving, dying of plague. No parnasa, no nothing. A little trickle of the Talmidim of the Gra and the Baal Shem Tov trickling into Eretz Yisrael. What war? What? Who's fighting? Nobody's fighting. No one wants the place. And now we know exactly what the Navi is talking about, or we think we do. I mean, that's not going to play out the way we think it will, but I'm saying that the Das Tvunos, my point is the Das Tvunos was written to sort of explain conceptually and philosophically the flow of history. I believe that we have been zoche to sort of get a glimpse of what's happening, because we were zochet to see in our lifetime, Klal Yisrael, since the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash, Klal Yisrael is puzzled, what's going to be? How's it going to work? Scattered all over the world, persecuted all over the world, oppressed all over the world, exiled all over the world. You know, you can't live here. They're exiled from England. How many people know the Jews were exiled from England? They weren't allowed to live in England. They were kicked out of England. Spain, people heard of already. Germany, everywhere. How they live in the Arab lands. Nothing, so you say, I think we don't feel as pressured as the Das Tvunos did. You still have to explain the flow, because there's still Tzadik Ruralo and Rosh HaVatovlo. Things change. The world's moving very, very fast. A few months ago, things looked very... Now everybody's in a good mood. Trump, you know, this, that, but people still getting killed. And you can turn on the dimes. There's nothing inherently... still anti-Semites, anti-Jews all over the place in America, everywhere. They're just abiding their time. You know. Anyway, the point is everything's enormously complex. So, Hashem is Mashgiach over. Paragraph 2 reminds us that Hashem is not even, I would say, I don't know what to word you, primarily, not Mashgiach on if I'm going to catch a cold or not. The Hashgacha takes place at a much higher transcendent level. Either the Malach in charge of... No, I shouldn't say Malach. The Malach is a task to bring it down to this world. But the Kochos HaElyonim that he talked about, the Spheros. And, you know, we don't even know what a cold is in the transcendent forces. We don't know what it means. But every stender, every blade of grass, every event has its roots in the transcendent forces. Milamala, the Olamus Elyonim call it, the spiritual worlds. And there's the Spheros, and there's three spiritual worlds. And there's really much more, and there's billions and billions and billions of Malachim. So he's saying, realize that the Hashgacha is taking place Lamala. And then there are managers who bring it down Lamata. So paragraph 1 said that there's Hashgacha over everything, because everything needs to justify its existence, so to speak. Hashem sort of has to justify everything's continued existence, not just its creation. So there has to be Hashgacha to see that it's doing that and that it's being supplied with the fuel that it needs to be able to do what it's supposed to do in the Bria. And then paragraph 2 tells us, but realize that it barely scratches the surface of what's happening. Because really, that's Hashgacha and Hashem's chess movements are taking place not here. War breaking out here is the end of a long chain. It already broke out, Lamala. Okay, paragraph Gimel. Now he says a very fundamental idea. Va'amnam, however, realize, B'yoshin ishtana aminu anushi mikol shor aminim, everything else is reactive. So the Hashgacha takes place, Lamala, and then there's just Hashgacha over the Malachim to make sure that they're morid it lamata. But people need a special type of Hashgacha, because people are proactive, not reactive. So we do things, and we are machadesh things. We do things with our bechira. We're not just the reaction in many things. Let's say half our lives, I don't know, I don't want to give it a number, it could be everything, it could be nothing. In our lives we exercise our free will, and we're not the end of the long chain in those areas where we exercise our free will. We're the beginning of the long chain, and we tug the chain, and the transcendent forces are the reactors, and we're the actors. So there's a special Hashgacha needed for people to enable them to... This is not happening anywhere else in the world, in the universe. The universe, everything's happening with Mala, and everything else is reactive. Mankind is proactive. So there's a special Hashgacha that says, let's work out that man's... And this gets more complicated. Extremely more complicated. He doesn't even delve into it too much. And Das Tvunos, he delves into it much more. Because things have to work according to a certain game plan Hashem has. On the other hand, man has free will. This is one of the most fundamental theological shaylas, philosophical shaylas, theological shaylas in Judaism. I don't know about other religions. I don't care much about other religions. It's one of the most fundamental questions. How well, not how, but can we square Hashem's game plan for the universe with man having free will and doing what he wants? Chavis HaVavos talks about it. The Rambam talks about it. I'm not talking about Yediyah and Bechira. There's two philosophical questions that people mix up. They're two different questions. One is called Yediyah and Bechira. Can we have free will if Hashem knows the future? So on a certain plane, it happened already. Let's just leave it at that. Can we have free will if Hashem knows that it happened already? But there's a different question. A different question. And that is, can we have free will, and which would imply the world can go in the direction that mankind chooses to take it? But Hashem has a plan. So how does that work? Hashem is guiding the world, maneuvering, guiding, managing. Many, many things are happening which are not the product of Bechira. Nations fighting, people dying, inventions being invented. I mean, the world's moving in a certain direction, and Hashem is managing that movement towards Mashiach, towards V'hoya Hashem l'melech al kol ha'aretz b'yom hu yiyah Hashem echad shmo echad. But then, but man has free will. So, he can take it wherever he wants to. Can he? Can't he? Can he? So this is a puzzle. This is a different question, and it's a very fundamental question. Alavis essentially says, when he discusses this question in Shaar Avodas Elokim, this is not Yediyah and Bechira. This is called, Hashgacha and Bechira. If I can control the world, so I could take it, then the premise is, we could all be Rishon, we could all be Tzaddikim, we could force Hashem's hand. Can we? So it's a puzzle, very deep puzzle. Das Tvunos talks about it, at Ramchal. Das Tvunos talks, I don't think he talks about it in the Derech Hashem. Das Tvuna talks about it. Chavis HaLavos just essentially says it's unknowable. It's so deep and so fundamental and so fundamental to Hashem and the world that it's like saying we can't know the nature of Hashem. So we can't understand this either. So we have to just travel through life, he says, imagining that we have Bechira to do whatever we want, because experientially, our experience is that we have Bechira. I certainly feel like I can do whatever I want. I could, because I could. So maybe, a guy tries to kill someone and he misses. But I, so that many of you say, okay, because Hashem didn't want the person to die. But most of the time, I survive. So I have to, you have to act as the Chavis HaLavos like you have Bechira, because that's your experience in this world, that you have Bechira. And don't think too much about how that's working with Hashem's plan for the world. You'll just get a headache. You're not going to figure it out anyway, so just move on. Says it's unknowable. I'm being cute. He's saying it's just like Hashem is unknowable. This is unknowable. This is so deep that it's as unknowable as Hashem is. That's what said. Das Tvunos explained that Das Tvunos is very hard to understand. Das Tvunos. He says there's like two Maslulim going on at all times. He calls it Hanhagas HaMishpat and Hanhagas, I forgot the other one, Hanhagas HaMishpat and Hanhagas HaTzadik, I think. And Hashem just maneuvers that they should both come out to the same place. And then it just becomes a question of yediyah and bechira. Okay, that's a different question and that's a different discussion. Anyway, here he just says that there's a special hashgacha on people because they're proactive, not reactive. So, and they're determining the world. We're determining if the world is going to be closer to Hashem, Dovek Hashem, on a higher spiritual plane, or we can destroy the Beis HaMikdash and chase Hashem, so to speak, away from this world. We're chasing Hashem away. The Shekhinah was here, the Beis HaMikdash was here, the Shekhinah was here, and we chased them away with our sins. So that's our Bechira. So, it's a different type of hashgacha. It's a more complex hashgacha. It's like if you have a factory, and so you know you have to be mashgiach over all the workers, but the workers that are there to clean up and to open up and to turn on the lights and to make sure the heat's working. So you have to watch over them, but watch over them. But then the people that run the factory, the people that produce the goods, they need a hashgacha to make sure that they have the wherewithal and the ability of producing the goods, and they make sure that it's a much deeper hashgacha and a much more important hashgacha. Well, I don't want to say important, a much more fundamental hashgacha, and they have to be given more, they get a higher salary. That's clearly so. We're producing the goods of the factory. We're producing the goal of the world. So we get a higher salary. We're given more tools, because to clean the factory, you just need a broom and a dustpan. But to produce the goals of the factory, that's already, you need everything you need to produce. So that's what the Hashem says. He doesn't say it before. I'm interpreting what he's saying. You need a special hashgacha on mankind. Turns out that mankind is the Jews, because mankind blew it, and the Jews sort of, grabbed the momentum and are the ones that took over, because mankind turned its back on its role.
To move towards bonding with Hashem, b'shleimus, with perfection, or to create flaws in the bria. That means proactive, not reactive. He's doing things. He's not sitting back and things are happening to him because of what happened in the Olamos HaElyonim, and it's Mishtal Shelamata, and he's a victim of whichever way, whatever happened in the Olamos HaElyonim, which is true about everything that's not Bechira. We don't want to believe it. We think we're producing money, and we're producing family, and we're producing whatever we're producing, and we're like, if it's not Bechira, it's all just puppets on a string, and we're being manipulated. We don't like to hear it, but we're being manipulated. Except for Bechira things, where we create our own reality, because Hashem gave us free will and said we can. We can determine if we're going to be close to Hashem or far from Hashem, if we're going to be good people or not good people. That's us. We're free to do that. Therefore, we gam hashgacha olav, so the hashgacha on people muchroch shetishtana has to be different me hashgacha al shor haminim, because, like I said, the guy producing the goods in the factory needs more tools and more of the hashgacha of the owner of the factory than the guy sweeping does, and cleaning and sweeping and making sure that the electricity is working and the lights are on. But if you're producing, got to check every day that you have enough raw material to produce, that you're doing it, that you don't sleep, Those that get cleaned one day, okay. But if you don't produce one day, I have to be more careful. maybe the cleaner, I don't know, I'm giving mishalim, I hope they're a little true, you know, the cleaner can take a 15-minute break, nothing's going to happen. The producer can't take a 15-minute break, right? The assembly line's going to get messed up. It's not producing those 15 minutes. And remember, mankind chooses, and then there's reward and punishment. So there's more complicated hashgacha, because there are sometimes there's reward and punishment in this world. So that has to be factored in by Hashem also. It's not just Hashem and the Lamas Al Yonim and deciding if there should be a war or not, and people are going to get killed or not. It's, do people deserve to get killed? Because they deserve an onesh. So, it's a much more complex hashgacha.